You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Back to politics now and Super Tuesday. And our focus for the next few minutes is the great state of Ohio, where reality has been bent by the campaign for the last week or so. I mean, if you run a local TV or radio station in Ohio, it's been buckets of cash for you from the Romney and Santorum campaigns, trying to place ads at nearly any price.
I'm voting for Rick Santorum. He is deeply committed to Jesus Christ.
Every place that Mitt has gone, he has solved problems that people said were nearly impossible.
But if you run a furniture store in, say, Dayton or Columbus, and are having a Super Tuesday discount sale, good luck getting the word out, or even buying an ad anywhere. But if you are an Ohio voter at this point, you know more about how one candidate doesn't care about America, another is destroying America, another is hurting taxpayers, wrecking the economy, being untrustworthy, not being a real conservative, being a real conservative, being electable, not being electable. You'll know who America can't afford right now or who America needs right now, and that four more years of Obama is as dire an outcome in 2012 as the Mayan apocalypse. Okay, that's one way of looking at it, but let's explore Ohio's February-March 2012 reality on this Super Tuesday with two voter victims, shall we call them, Dave Sexton and Brian Boyer. Dave and Brian, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Now, despite our theatrical sense of cynicism here, we want to stress both of you are excited about voting today, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Give us your impression. Dave Sexton is a youth pastor at Calvary Bible Baptist Church in Westerville, Ohio. Brian Boyer is a web developer in Wayne County, Ohio. Dave, what's it been like in terms of facing the blitz of campaign ads over the last couple of weeks?
It's been kind of crazy, but actually it's nice. I've kind of changed the way I view media or kind of get my news and everything over the last couple years, and with DVR and now reading most of my news over the internet, I'm able to watch an ad once and then skip over it for the rest of the time. So it's not been, you know, radio probably has been where I've heard the most just on my way to and from work. But it's been nice to be able to just kind of pick and choose when I hear from candidates and when I don't.
Dave Sexton, there are ad buyers and campaign directors who are hanging on your every word this morning. Brian Boyer, how about you? Any ads that really struck you that maybe were decisive? What's your general impression?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of in the same boat. You know, I think the younger generations are looking at media very differently. You know, for example, I don't even have cable. But I've been watching a lot of the ads. You know, several have been picking up buzz. But, you know, for me, none of them have been real decisive. I've, you know, actually enjoyed a lot of the ads since I think it's healthy for this type of discourse. And not all of them have been negative. But I think it's important to look at, you know, multiple sides of the campaigns, the different issues, voting records, and that sort of thing. And I don't think people take the negative ads too seriously.
Dave, let's play a piece of an ad that you found persuasive. First of all, let's play it, and then we'll get your reaction. We'll get your sense of why. Here it is.
Here's Dr. James Dobson.
I'm voting for Rick Santorum. I worked with this man for many years when he was a senator from Pennsylvania, and I found him to be a remarkable leader. He's defended traditional marriage. He wrote the law that ended partial birth abortions, and he is deeply committed to Jesus Christ.
So that is, of course, James Dobson. And Dave Sexton, it wasn't the production values here that convinced you that this ad was powerful, right?
No, and, you know, to me, the thing that makes an ad powerful is how close it sticks to sharing what the candidate feels, values that are important to them, and focused on them. I'm not a big you know, hey, the other guy is the big bad wolf and voting for him starts the apocalypse. You know, like you mentioned at the beginning, you know, if we have Obama or if we have this candidate, then the end of the world is coming.
Glad to hear it, Dave. Glad to hear it.
So, you know, the thing that was powerful for me there was like, hey, you know, and the reason I'm leaning towards Rick Santorum is just because he shares kind of the same values that are super important to me, you know, whether that's abortion, just a lot of the moral values.
Sure. No, I understand. And, I understand. Dave, you only say you're leaning towards Santorum, though. That means you haven't made up your mind yet?
You know, it's hard. It's leaning because I wish that there was someone that I could be super excited about supporting. Because while I think Santorum shares kind of a lot of moral values that I have, I'm not convinced that he's a kind of limited government type guy.
Right. Well, Dave, thanks so much for sharing your candor here. Let me get a response from Brian. We also have the great Kathleen Hall Jamieson, who's listening to all of this conversation and is going to give us her view on the sort of media, the sort of meta message here of both of your responses to these ads. Brian Boyer, how do you evaluate ads? By their cleverness or by, as Dave suggested, their personal connection to you and your beliefs?
Well, you know, I think it's the main message. You know, the sort of the point of the ads is to, you know, tell a story, whether it's positive or negative. And I think the most effective ads are ones that highlight an issue with a candidate, maybe an opponent candidate, and then whether it be Obama or a fellow primary candidate, and then they can provide their side of the story. I think a lot of the pure negative ads just leave a lot of people hanging, just saying, you know, hey, this guy's, you know, horrible. You know, you shouldn't even look at him.
So
but
you,
then, you know,
you,
what's the solution? So that's sort of what I view as, you know, the most effective ads.
So you like the sense of debate that's reconstituted in the ad versus ad discourse that you can hear in a very disconnected way during a campaign. That's Brian Boyer, a web developer from Akron. Dave Sexton, a youth pastor in Westerville, Ohio. Let's bring in Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, director of FlackCheck.org. You can go to the site to see their Day Before Super Tuesday musical, which is probably a little bit more clever than even our intro to this segment. Kathleen Hall Jamieson, how fascinated are you by just the language that both of these Ohio voters are using in our unscientific data points here?
Well, it may be unscientific, but it does speak from what we know about how ads work. For example, voters want to hear reasons to vote for a candidate, not simply distinctions among candidates. And ads that help to anchor that vote are good for the process if they're accurate and fair and relevant to governance. So the voter who heard the ad by Dobson was probably micro-targeted by that ad because the people who made the ads knew that that was the kind of voter who wanted to hear that message. Substantively, it reminds you that Senator Santorum floor-managed the Partial Birth Abortion Act. That's important information for voters who support that position, and it's a reason to vote for. Mm-hmm. However, if you oppose that legislation and heard that ad might push you away from Senator Santorum. As a result, it's a useful ad.
Interesting. Dave Sexton, you were micro-targeted. Did you get that?
Yeah, I know.
Brian Boyer, are you voting for Mitt Romney?
Yes, I am.
All right, and you haven't voted yet?
No, I have not.
Well, Dave and Brian, thanks so much for being with us. Good luck, and I hope the outcome is to your liking, and thanks for being a part of the campaign with us here.
Thank you so much.
So, Kathleen Hall Jamieson, why don't you take us out? We've got a minute or so to go. I thought those guys, I could listen to those guys for an hour.
We're learning in the primaries that the ads are shifting to have more advocacy in them. That's good. Also, the ads overall in Ohio, this may surprise you, have been more accurate than they have been in previous primaries and caucuses. That's good news as well.
Now, is that possibly a reaction to what we saw in Florida and in the overwhelming sort of ad situation in New Hampshire?
As we see the negatives of the candidates rise because of high levels of attack, some of it illegitimate, it is important that the candidates have recognized and the super PACs have recognized that voters need a reason to vote for and that accuracy in advertising matters. The field was being hurt by the level of this campaign, and I think there's some realization that that needs to turn around for the eventual Republican nominee as well as for this selection process.
Forget what the pundits are saying. The ad buyers and the strategists, according to your data, are responding to the fact that negative is not working. Kathleen Hall Jamieson, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Kathleen Hall Jamison is director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, director of flackcheck.org. You've got to go see this. Go to the site. They've got the Day Before Super Tuesday musical as well as tons of data. Kathleen, thanks so much.